This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
Oh boy, here we go. I'm very, very excited for this podcast. Folks, I gotta be honest, I did not think it was gonna happen. Today, Wednesday, September 16th, it's a big day on the podcast. The glee in my voice. Folks, what a memorable night we just witnessed in sports. I mean, it's gotta be up there. Clippers gagging for the third straight game. Not Clip City, Choke City. There are 50 different ways to go on this. I could spend 2 hours just berating the Clippers. My phone was blowing up. People are like, my friends are like, oh, dude, you're going to have so much good material. This is going to be great. And I will start here. A little bit of me, a little part of Jason is a little sad that we will not see Lakers-Clippers. Yes, that's true. I mean, we've been waiting 14 months for this since free agency happened. Everybody's like, all right, well, we're going to get LeBron versus Kawhi, showdown, Battle of LA, blah, blah, blah. They had some good showdowns during the season. Everybody thought it was going to happen. We don't get it now. But I guess we're going to have some fun tearing down the Clippers and Doc Rivers, one of the most overrated coaches, not only in the NBA, but in sports in the last like 3 decades. But before we go there, the big picture takeaway is, you guys, we all have choices to make in life. There are some pivotal moments in your life. You're going to be, you got a decision. We had one. Jason, do you want to move out to LA? Away from your comfort zone, away from your friends and family and your wife's family. And try this TV thing out. And we'll see what happens. I'd never lived anywhere except basically the Northeast and a stint in North Carolina briefly after college. And it was a tough decision, but ultimately I wanted to be here. The wife was on board. And there are job decisions that are difficult to make. And I think when you look at what just went down with the Clippers, to pinpoint the decision that Kawhi Leonard made in July of 2019, when he basically said to LeBron, thanks, I don't want to play with you. I'm going to go to the Clippers and I'm going to bring Paul George with me. That was Kawhi's master plan. He thought he was a genius. He thought he was building a super team. If you remember, there was a moment. It was Lakers, Clippers, and Raptors. And there was some thoughts that Drake could convince Kawhi to stay. And then, how's he going to turn down LeBron? And nobody had that. Paul George, who had just signed, remember, he was staying in OKC. Paul George got extinguished in the first round with Russell Westbrook 2 years in a row. And he's like, oh, I'm going to stay. And then quickly, Kawhi calls Paul George and says, come on out here. Let's do the damn thing with the Clippers. And we'll make L.A. a Clipper city. And that decision, you have to wonder, is Kawhi Leonard going to Uncle Dennis? Who remember, if you remember the reports, there were Uncle Dennis, his handler, was going to the Lakers saying, we want access to a private jet at all times. I want this, that, and the other. Kawhi's making all sorts of crazy demands. Remember, I took a lot of heat for saying Kawhi Leonard got the luckiest championship that I can remember. Remember that Game 7 against the Sixers, the luckiest bounce in a Game 7 final shot ever. Ever. It was a lucky prayer that went in. I still maintain, if you watch the end of that fourth quarter, go on YouTube, the 76ers had their chances, folks. Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Embiid, they had that game. And Kawhi hits his prayer. And then Kawhi gets lucky again when Kevin Durant's injured and plays 12 minutes in the series, and Klay gets, even without Kevin Durant, the Warriors definitely had a shot, and then Klay gets hurt in Game 6, and that's a wrap. Kawhi got lucky. And I took a beating for saying Kawhi got lucky. Oh no, Kawhi, he's maybe the best player on the planet. I mean, do we want to start with full series numbers for Kawhi against the Denver freaking Nuggets? Or do we want to just go to Game 7? When it was Choke City. Kawhi Leonard, 0 points in the fourth quarter of Game 7. And folks, it's not like they lost a heartbreaker to the Nuggets. They got their ass kicked by the Denver Nuggets. I can't make this up. The Denver Nuggets destroyed Kawhi and Paul George in Game 7. I mean, really, they kicked their ass in Game 6 in the second half and in Game 5. So Game 5, Clippers led at halftime. And in the second half, the Denver Nuggets, who had really, I mean, Jamal Murray's never accomplished anything. Jokic has never won a damn thing. They crushed the Clippers in Game 5 in the second half. Outscored them by 18. Game 6, Clippers lead at the half. Nuggets outscored them by 29 in the second half. Game 7, Clippers lead at the half. Nuggets outscored them by 17 in the second half. Now listen, I can beat up Kawhi for an hour here. He's overrated. I saw somebody call him Chris Middleton with cornrows, which I just thought that was friggin' hysterical. A little slanderous. Listen, Kawhi Leonard's a very good player. He's a top 10 player in the league. But the fact that people were putting him up near LeBron, like, I'm telling you guys, LeBron ain't never go out in the prime of his career with a superstar teammate in the second round of the Denver Nuggets. Now, Rob G can, you know, answer this one later. I think the one time LeBron lost in the second round, it was to the Boston Celtics. And I think he might have gone down to the Orlando Magic as well. Both those teams went to the finals. The Celtics won the ring. Dwight Howard lost to Kobe and the Lakers. We'll fact check that later in the show. But bottom line is, I mean, the hype for Kawhi and Paul George was through the roof. And listen, I was steadfast the entire time. I trust LeBron. I trust Anthony Davis. I don't know that I trust Kawhi and Paul George. And they didn't deliver. And, you know, folks, it's not that they lost to, like, some juggernaut, okay? Jamal Murray had 40 in Game 7. Crunch time. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combined for 24. I saw a tweet from Zach Lowe that said the 41st pick in the 2014 draft could not be stopped by what was supposed to be this amazing defensive team. This ridiculously talented defensive group that could switch on the perimeter. They had all these dogs, as Chris Broussard has told me for friggin' a year. My guy, Chris Broussard. Oh, they got Morris. And they got Pat Bev. And they got Paul George and Kawhi. Like, how are you going to score on this team? I mean, Jokic, 16 points, 22 rebounds, 13 assists in Game 7. Rob G pulled this incredible stat. Kawhi Leonard in the second half of the series averaged 9 points per game, 34% shooting. Is that clutch? Is that your king? Is this your king? I mean, listen, Kawhi Leonard, at some point under scrutiny, is Kawhi Leonard a system guy? He was in a system in San Antonio. It worked great. It was the perfect system. But he decided he didn't want to be under the iron fist of Greg Popovich. And so he left for Toronto. And they had two good guards. Freddie VanVleet bailed them out a lot. Kyle Lowry bailed them out a lot. Kawhi was finals MVP, yes. But there was a nice system Nick Nurse had. By the way, Kawhi leaves that system. And I think the Raptors still won 50 games. And they got to the second round of the playoffs. Just as a note, when LeBron leaves the team, the bottom falls out. He left the Cavs the first time, lottery team. He left the Heat, missed the playoffs. He leaves the Cavs again, back to the basement. Don't put LeBron and Kawhi in the same sentence. It is silly. It is reductive. LeBron is the system. Kawhi, maybe he's a system guy. All right, let's go on to a couple more notes here. Doc Rivers. I was crushing him probably a little hard. I felt a little bit bad for Doc Rivers, the way I was beating him up on Twitter. And people are going after him. And this is a guy now who has choked away 3-1 leads three times in the playoffs. Once with Orlando, and I heard a great Tracy McGrady quote. They were up 3-1, and Tracy McGrady apparently said, you know, it feels great for the first time. I'm going to get out of the first round. Then they lost the next three games, T-Mac. Then he did it with the Houston Rockets. And the Clippers just totally choked. Rockets storm back and win three straight against Doc Rivers. And now against the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets. I don't know how Doc lives this down. I mean, I don't think you can get rid of him because Ballmer, the owner, loves him. And he's a great players coach. And Doc Rivers is a great guy. I've been out to restaurants in L.A. and seen him. And you just people want to go up and glad hand Doc Rivers. He's just he's on the surface, he's a really nice guy. He plays the media well. But this is a guy who was a nice role player with the Hawks. And he was on my favorite Knicks team. And all he's done is underachieve as an NBA head coach. He won a title with the Celtics, a super team. And other than that, he really hasn't done anything to warrant this like exalted status that Doc Rivers is one of the best coaches in the league. I guess my final thought is about the future of the Clippers. And we've been talking about Giannis a lot. And I think there needs to be some scrutiny for the Clippers. A couple notes. Number one, they don't have a first-round draft pick until 2027. 2027. So they can't build through the draft. Right now, you're looking at Montrezl Harrell and Morris are free agents. I mean, those are two of your top seven guys. Morris, was a starter, and Harrell was the sixth man of the year. Is somebody going to offer Trez Harrell some money? Are the Hawks going to throw some money at him? Somebody going to try to make a small ball five in the role of Draymond? Although he really got exposed against Jokic, and he can't shoot threes. So I think the Clippers' future is suddenly a little questionable. Remember, Paul George, one more year, and then he's a free agent. He's going to hit the market if he wants. I don't know what the relationship is between Kawhi and Paul George. And I got to keep it real here. This team underachieved. It's pretty clear the Nuggets are going to be a problem. A guy by the name of Will Barton was like a starter and a pivotal player on their team. He hasn't even played in the playoffs. He's hurt. So like Nuggets aren't going anywhere. Golden State Warriors are going to be back. We know that. They're not going anywhere. LeBron breathing. Lakers will be there. We'll see what becomes of the Houston Rockets. We'll see what happens with OKC. But this idea that the Clippers are going to just like steamroll the West, folks, they're going to have some challenges next year. Utah Jazz will bring back Bogdanovich. I've said enough about the Utah Jazz. That was kind of a joke. But this West is going to be difficult next year. And we're looking at just an embarrassing situation for the Clippers, having to go back home, tail tucked between their legs, didn't even get to the conference finals. By the way, that makes 50 straight years that the Clippers have not made the conference finals. Longest drought in the NBA. All right, Rob G., I thought I'd bring you in to laugh at me for whiffing on my double dose in the best bet. Clippers first half, they gagged it away. They were leading by 11 with like 3 minutes left, and Jamal Murray went postal. And then, of course, Boston covered in the teaser. I told you guys not to tease. And then the Clippers had to win by 2 or 3, and they lost by 15. So the best bet, a double loss. That comes on the chin. But Rob G., you're a big Clippers fan, aren't you? Or something like that?
Christmas has come early to the Guerra household. I tried to tell you months ago the Clippers were frauds. They were not to be taken seriously. I put hashtag Lakers in six, I think, back in December because I knew that they were no threat to us. And to see the way that they folded down the stretch repeatedly just made me so happy. I mean, then the best part about all of it, too, was after the game, the excuses that were coming out of that locker room were rich. Let me just give you a few of them.
Oh, boy.
Paul George said, internally, we never thought this was a championship or bust season. Because we know that we weren't together long
Come
enough.
Come on. Fuck out of here.
Lou Williams said, you know what? Hey, we just didn't have the chemistry.
Well, we've been harping on the chemistry for a while. That's been pretty clear. But you're not supposed to lose Game 7 of the friggin' Nuggets, Lou.
Exactly. Now, this is my favorite one. Mark Spears, a great reporter at The Undefeated, said after the game, several Clippers were so fatigued during Game 7, they struggled to play stints longer than 3 minutes and asked to be out of the game for a breather.
What?
The Clippers are the softest bunch of chumps.
I thought they were dogs.
In NBA history.
I thought they were dogs.
If it wasn't for the fact that Chris Broussard is friend of the show, friend of this program, has to buy me a 20 wings a combo now from this bet that he lost to me about the Lakers and the Clippers, I would continue to call him out for saying, the Clippers are dogs.
Yeah, Rob G., so Mark Spears is getting that from somebody. I'm assuming Doc Rivers is starting with the friggin' excuses, and he's throwing his players under the bus. That is pretty dirty from Doc Rivers. Right after the loss, you're going to be like, oh, our guys were tired. I had to pull them out. I mean, you've been in the bubble for over a month.
Doc Rivers is a fraud. And I try to tell you, we try to tell the world Not only is he the only coach in NBA history to blow 3-3-1 leads, which is an incredible feat. Kudos to him. He's also blown three other 3-2 leads.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Like, dude, get the fuck out of here. Terrible. I'm sorry to mean to cuss on the podcast. I know we got kids who listen.
He's terrible.
He is terrible. But because he's a nice guy, like you said, because he seems to be well-liked by a lot of the players, and quite honestly, because he's a social justice activist, he's going to keep his job. Yeah. He's not going anywhere.
I just saw...
And as a Laker fan, I love that because it means that there's one less team we got to worry about in the Western Conference.
I saw something funny. Are you ready? Lou Williams is nothing but BJ Armstrong with a Magic City VIP bracelet. Oh, my God. People are just going in on social media. They're just murdering, absolutely destroying everything about the Clippers. Listen, when you talk all that smack, Beverly and Morris... Remember what they were saying to Damian Lillard and talking all that trash and saying, bye-bye, you're going to be done. And now who's going home early? Like, listen, Patrick Beverley is getting exposed here as all talk, no action. I thought he was a lockdown defender. Jamal Murray gave him 40. He gave him a 40-piece in Game 7. All right, quickly, I guess I got to talk about Lakers Nuggets. I was not ready for this. I don't think anybody was. Nuggets were heavy underdogs, and they're going to be heavy underdogs in this series. I saw one of the early lines was like the Lakers were minus 600 to win the series, so you got to lay 600 to win $100. Obviously, don't advocate anything like that. My first thought, and it's not fully fleshed out, and don't let me commit to this. I will come back tomorrow with a concrete pick on Thursday's podcast. I think the Lakers could be looking at a sweep here. There is just no matchup advantage at all for the Nuggets. I pulled Jokic's numbers against the Lakers this year. You know, he had 22 rebounds in Game 7 against the Clippers, right? They don't have a center. In four meetings against the Lakers this year, Jokic averaged 5 rebounds a game. I'm not going to say he's garbage compared to... Anthony Davis, but it's just not a good matchup. Jokic actually has to play defense against Anthony Davis, and he's not going to be as offensive effective. He's making those easy passes over his shoulder, no look, because he's getting guarded by a smurf. You know, Montrezl Harrell, he's got like 3 or 4 inches on him. Anthony Davis is looking him eye to eye. I don't see an advantage there at all for Jokic, and I got to wonder, when you look at Jamal Murray, we just saw... Frank Vogel's defense completely erased James Harden. Totally took him out. And the Rockets had no counterpunch. What's going to happen if they run the same strategy at Jamal Murray? Now, I don't think you need that in game one. I'll give Danny Green and KCP their chances. But I don't see an advantage anywhere. I know the Nuggets have some streaky guys. Millsap can get hot. Michael Porter Jr., who I think had 2 points in game 7. He can get streaky. Gary Harris is a nice player. But the biggest question I have, Rob G, like, who guards LeBron? And please don't tell me Paul Millsap. He is still having nightmares about what LeBron did to him and the Hawks when the Hawks were the number one seed in the East, 60 wins, and LeBron dusted them 4-0. Budenholzer and Millsap. So I don't want to hear Millsap guarding him. I like Jeremy Grant. He's a capable defender. Good luck against LeBron. I don't know how they guard LeBron. Is sweep too aggressive, though?
It might be. I mean, I got Lakers in 5. I think that's what I'm leaning towards right now. But let me just say, I'm not ready to look ahead to that series yet because I'm not done dancing on the Clippers. Just for a second. Now, you already took the bat to Kawhi Leonard, because he's the king and he's not, stop it.
Oh,
sorry,
geez.
Colin. You're a friend of the show, but no. Let me tell you about my guy, Pandemic Pete. In 10 career playoff elimination games, you ready for this? Paul George, 17 points a game on 37% shooting, 1-9 in his career. And the Clippers traded away like 11 first round draft picks for this guy.
And listen, I am a Paul George guy, Rob G. You know that. I like his game. I think he's a perfect number two. I didn't realize he was that bad in elimination games. Playing like number two, 37% shooting? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. What do you, internally, who do you think gets the finger pointing? I mean, Kawhi ain't going to blame Doc Rivers. Is he going to lay this at the feet? of Paul George and be like, yo, we're 4-for-16 in game 7. What's up, bro? I think Kawhi's built like that, though.
No, Kawhi won't say anything, and that's why it's so hard for people to rip him. And even though I think personally that there's a lot more going on beneath the surface than he gives us in the media, I think he's like a duck on the pond where on the top he's really still, but on the bottom his feet are always going. I mean, you saw during that recruitment process, he was a snake, dude. Yeah. He was playing both sides of the fence. His uncle was asking for extracurricular benefits. Yep. Like he was a high school recruit. He wanted like a private jet. He wanted money outside of the salary cap. I don't know if you saw that. He asked for like an extra incentive with advertising and stuff like that so he can make more money on the side. Greedy. Like Kawhi is not, you know, the wholesome guy that you think
is that Uncle Dennis?
That's him. He's just, because he doesn't say anything publicly, people don't think like that about him.
Well,
you know, yeah, that he left the Jordan brand because he thought he wasn't getting enough money.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I have on him is... I had been on the set at FS1 with a couple former San Antonio Spurs. And when this whole Popovich versus Kawhi thing, is he hurt, is he not? And then if you remember, Tony Parker and Manu were like, yo, he's playing 5-on-5 with us. I don't know what's up. There was a soft label attached to Kawhi Leonard late in San Antonio. And he wouldn't do back-to-backs. This injury, like the coaching staff, the trainers were all like, we got him, is fine. And he says he's hurt. And then he goes to Toronto, and he don't want to run back-to-backs. And he goes to the Clippers. I'm not doing back-to-backs. And he hasn't played a back-to-back in like three or four years. And you got to wonder, like, when he comes out like this, a 6-for-22 in game 7, I didn't see any dog in him. I didn't see him locking down Jamal Murray. You know, if it was LeBron game 7 and Jamal Murray is giving the Lakers a business, LeBron will guard Jamal Murray and lock him down. That will happen even though he's 35. Where was Kawhi? So this whole dog mentality, I don't know. He got really exposed here, Rob G. Listen, he's a great player. We get that. I'm not calling him garbage. But this idea that he's in LeBron's class, that needs to stop. It needs to stop now.
Yeah, there's levels to this. And the sooner that you all like understand that LeBron James is in a class by himself, the only guy who's even within shouting distance of him is Kevin Durant.
Well, we'll see if Durant's healthy when he comes back.
Exactly. And that's the caveat with him. So
here are the numbers. Are you ready for Jokic, who was utterly dominant against the Clippers? Against the Lakers in 4 games, he averaged 16, 5 points, 5 assists. He only shot 48% from the field, which looks to be the lowest, or maybe the second lowest, of any team that he played 3 or 4 games against. So, listen, I know it's gonna sound like a hot take, but I will be looking to bet Lakers in a sweep. I'll see what the price is when they come out later this morning. But just a shocking development in the NBA. It's going to send ripples throughout the league. And I can't wait to have a buddy, friend of the show, Rob Parker, on, because he has been saying that this LeBron title, because I've been saying LeBron's going to win it, and he just says, oh, LeBron's going to win. It's not going to count. It's in the bubble. I can't wait to hear what the people who have been discounting this all along are going to say when LeBron goes through Portland, Houston, Denver, and Miami, or the Celtics. We'll see. We're not going to even do anything on the Celtics-Heat game from Tuesday night. Listen, it was a thriller. Went overtime. Bam Adebayo with one of the great rejections you'll see in NBA history. With like 3 seconds left, blocked a Jason Tatum dunk. I'm sure you've seen the clip by now. That series is going to be tight, nip and tuck. Miami got hot from three and was able to win that game. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I still maintain LeBron and the Lakers will win it. I thought it would be over the Celtics, and I'm going to stick with that for now. Actually, before we get to the NFL, I want to quickly remind everybody, 5-star review this week, and your name or email or whatever, and we will pick 2 tomorrow. Well, we'll pick them today. We'll announce the winners tomorrow, and I will Venmo you $100. The coolest, funniest, wittiest 5-star review on iTunes, and you could win $100. We'll do 3 of them this week, 2 tomorrow, and then 1 for Friday's big, mega NFL podcast. Another side note, there will be no best bet tonight. Yes, I took those 2 on the chin Tuesday night. That was tough, but there's no NBA, there's no NFL, so we will resume the best bet on Thursday. All right, let me quickly get to this story in the NFL that I think is going to fly under the radar because of the shenanigans that happened in the NBA. But Odell Beckham is an immensely talented football player. We know that, okay? That's a fact. That's a hard stop. There's no getting around it. Odell Beckham is immensely talented. But he's also become such a problem at both New York in the locker room and now Cleveland that you've got to wonder, where is he going to go next? Because, folks, there is legit unhappiness from Odell Beckham in Cleveland. He essentially said it to the media this week after the loss, the embarrassing loss to the Ravens. And I just want... Part of me should not be surprised because we've seen this show before with him. And I have maintained that Odell Beckham was a normal receiver, awesome, talented guy, but a normal human, not a superstar. And then he has the catch against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, the amazing one-handed catch. And overnight, Odell Beckham becomes a legit superstar off one catch. He went, I mean, astronomical. He became a global sensation off one catch. Then it was the hair. It was the swag. It was the speed. He got the largest football contract ever from Nike. He's dating celebrities. He's hanging out with Bieber. He's running with the Kardashians and the Hollywood Hills in the offseason. Like, Odell Beckham blew up after that catch. And since then, it's been just a headache after another with the New York Giants and now with the Cleveland Browns. And the comparison I have for Odell Beckham, and if you listen to my Saturday show, I've used this with Antonio Brown, and I've used this with Odell Beckham, the story of the scorpion and the frog. Okay, I'm sure you guys know this. If you haven't heard it, just imagine Odell Beckham as the scorpion. Okay, scorpion needs a ride across the river. And the scorpion's like, hey, frog, can you give me a ride across the river? I can't get across. And the frog's like, why would I do that? You're a scorpion. You're going to sting me, and I'm going to get killed. And the scorpion goes, no, 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 why would I sting you? I need a ride across the river. If I sting you, I'll die too. And the frog's like, oh, okay, that's a good point. I'll give you a ride. And of course, halfway across the river, the scorpion, bing, right on the back of the frog. Oh, why the hell did you do that? We're going to die. Scorpion just shrugs. That's what I do. I'm a scorpion. Sorry. And they die. And Odell Beckham is the scorpion. Oh, he's going to be a class act. He's happy to be in Cleveland. He loves Baker Mayfield. Odell Beckham after the loss to Baltimore. I just want to win and produce. Odell, he's going to be happy. He's got a big contract in Cleveland. Come on, we're going to win some games. He's got his buddy Jarvis Landry from college on the other side. Odell Beckham, actual quote. He said, I need to get the ball early in games because it's like an NBA shooter. You start shooting a couple threes early and you get hot and maybe you go for 60. Like, he said that to the media. Listen, Odell Beckham is a little bit delusional. First of all, the NBA analogy just falls apart, okay? The NBA is a high variance sport. You can go 3 or 4 minutes without LeBron taking a shot in the first quarter. He can get everyone else involved because LeBron's going to get his shots. There's a million possessions in an NBA game. In an NFL game, like against the Ravens, I noted this on Twitter that, oh, look, Odell Beckham, because I have him on my fantasy team. Now, I didn't draft him. I'm in a league. Some of the guys listen to this podcast, and it was like spotty Wi-Fi, and somehow I accidentally bit on Odell Beckham, and I swear I did not mean to. I would never draft him, okay? I'm not a fan of Odell Beckham as a fantasy guy, and I get stuck with him. So I've got him in my starting lineup, and I had Jamison Crowder benched. He had a monster Sunday. And I notice Odell Beckham has one target as we approach halftime. And I'm like, oh, this is going to go over well. And then you start reading the reports that Odell said, well, yeah, I didn't get a target in the first quarter. He got his first touch, I think, with like 4 minutes left in the half. And you knew something happened in the locker room. Odell pouting, Odell shouting. Because in the first drive the Browns had, Baker went right to him 3 or 4 times. They got a couple penalties, and he had a couple catches. But it's like 4 catches for 36 yards or whatever it was. Odell Beckham was a total non-factor. Here are the numbers. 10 targets, 3 catches, 23 yards. Second lowest yardage output in his career. Now, since he's been in Cleveland, he's faced teams in the AFC North. Bengals, Ravens, Steelers. Two of those teams have good secondaries. Odell Beckham, in 7 games in the division, has 21 catches and 2 touchdowns. The Browns gave up a first and a third and Jabril Peppers, who's a starting safety, for Odell Beckham. I mean, he's the guy who's going to display the body language that I want out when he doesn't get his way. He's just not into it. And this is bad news for the Browns, a team I am invested in this year. So you know what makes sense for Odell Beckham. And we'll see if it's able to materialize. I'll give you one guess. Which team has top 3 cap space? I mean, you could have 3 guesses if you want, but it's an obvious one. You know where I'm going. The New England Patriots. Who loves to shop in the bargain basement bin? Bill Belichick. He's paying, I think, Cam Newton's on a minimum deal. Guess who worked out in the offseason with Cam Newton? Odell Beckham. You mean to tell me if Odell Beckham's a problem in the locker room and Odell Beckham's complaining and getting in Baker Mayfield's head and being an issue in the huddle that the Browns wouldn't cut their losses and ship him to the Patriots? Now, Bill Belichick's going to drive a hard bargain. Hey, you got to pay a large chunk of this salary because I'm not footing that bill. But come on, folks. This makes all the sense in the world. Patriots have the second most cap space. Odell and Cam Newton are tight. Cam's going to say, yo, look at this. We got to win. I need to get some receivers. N'Keal Harry's fumbling out of the end zone. We cut Mohamed Sanu. Can you go grab me OBJ? Just keep an eye on that. It would not shock me if Odell Beckham was shipped out of town and the Patriots got him on the cheap. And then, of course, you know, Tom Brady's going to send some cryptic tweet about, hey, or maybe he'll put on Facebook, because Tom's a Facebook kind of guy. Boy, Bill, we lose Rob Gronkowski. You replace him with nothing. Cam Newton comes in town. You get him Odell Beckham. Thanks a lot, Bill. This is a situation worth monitoring. Odell Beckham, major superstar, probably top 10 jersey seller in the league. You're not going to find a lot of non-quarterbacks in there. And Odell Beckham's already unhappy after 1 loss in week 1. Let all of that marinate. So, folks, this was a fun show. Remember, subscribe, rate, and review. 2 big shows remaining in the week. And remember, I already teased it. The Venmo $100 my way to yours. Leave a fun 5-star comment. Rob G will be sifting through all the comments on iTunes. If it's 5 stars, it's funny, it's cool, you draw attention to yourself or me. Well, maybe not me, but the show. And the 3 lucky winners will get $100. We'll announce 2 tomorrow, 1 on Friday. Have a great day, everybody.